Praise God.
Hallelujah. God's going to fix it, I know. Let's give our evangelist, Reverend Kenny Williams, a great big welcome as he comes to preach the word of God to us tonight. Hallelujah.
Come on, let's give the Lord a shout of praise in this house tonight. Come on, we can do better than that. Let's give the Lord some praise in this house tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. It was a lively crowd, very large and loud, when Jesus passed by that way. Nobody saw the little woman at all as she passed through the crowd that day. For 12 long years she'd suffered, but she said down in her soul, if I can only touch his garment, hey, God's gonna fix it, I know. I know God's gonna fix it, I know. Yes, my God's gonna fix it, I know. No matter my heart is broken, whenever I'm a feeling low, you see, I don't have to worry, because the Master is in control. I just go to the problem solver. I know God's gonna fix it, I know. I mean, know he's the fixer tonight. When the doctor man, when he comes around and he says, son, I'm so sorry, I've done all I can do. When your friends are gathered around and you're feeling all down because your life is just about through, think about that little woman who reached out and touched his robe. And with faith and determination, say it, God's gonna fix it, I know. I know my God's gonna fix it, I know. Yes, my God's gonna fix it, I know. Oh, whenever my heart is broken, whenever I'm a feeling low, you see, I don't have to worry, because the Master is in control. I just go to the problem solver. I know God's gonna fix it, I know. Oh, God's gonna fix it, I know. Yes, my God's gonna fix it, I know. Oh, whenever my heart is broken, whenever I'm a feeling low, you see, I don't have to worry, because the Master is in control. I just go to the problem solver. I know God's gonna fix it, I know. I just go to the problem solver. I know God's gonna fix it, I know. Yeah, God's gonna fix it, I know. Oh, God's gonna fix it, I know. Give him a shout of praise in his house tonight. Come on, we do better than that. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise in this house tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So many times a question, certain circumstances, things I could not understand. Many times in trials, my weakness blurred my vision. My frustration gets so out of hand. Oh, but it's then that I am reminded, I've never been forsaken, knowing I've never had to stand one test alone. And when I think of all my victories, and the Holy Ghost rises up in me, it's through my trials my weaknesses made strong. that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered a victory without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again. And I know within myself that I would surely perish, but if I'll only trust in the mighty hand of God, he'll shield those flames again, again. And he never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. Oh, he never offered a victory without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Friend, you just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says, give in. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. So just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. Again. Come on, shout to the Lord in this house tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Turn around to somebody and say, we're going to have a little Pentecostal church tonight. Come on, tell them about it. Well, he's an old-time God. Yes, he is. Oh, he's an old-time God. Yes, he is. Oh, you may not come when you want him. You'll be there right on time. He's an old-time God. Yes, he is. I'm glad tonight to know that he's an old-time God. Yes, he is. Oh, he's an old-time God. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, he may not come when you want him. You'll be there right on time. He's an old-time God. Oh, yes, he is. And ask the children of Israel. They were trapped at the Red Sea by that mean old Pharaoh and his army. You know what? They had water all around them, and there was Pharaoh upon their tracks. Oh, from out of nowhere, God stepped in and made a highway just like that. Let me tell you, he's an old-time God. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, he's an old-time God. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, he may not come when you want him. You'll be there right on time. He's an old-time God. Oh, yes, he is. I like this verse, though. You can ask the 5,000 hungry souls he fed. They were up on the banks of the river. All they had was two fish and 5 loaves of bread. What a miracle people born bald, the multitude. But we're Wilson to tell you tonight what he did way back then, he'll do today for me and you, because he's had. Come on. Y'all sound good, sing it. Let's have a little church together. How about that? You'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Oh, yes. Turn around to somebody and say, he's on time. He's on time.
He's on time.
On time.
He's on time.
On time. Oh, yes, he's on time. He's on time.
He's on time.
See, the Bible tells us about a man named Job. Job had everything in the world he ever needed. He had prosperity. He had good health. The enemy come one day to devour everything they had. Took his houses, his land, his children, took his health. His wife coming and said, honey, why don't you curse God and die? But Job says, he's an old-time God. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's an old-time God. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, he may not come when you want him. He'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. He's an on-time God. He's an on-time God. Oh, yes. Yes, he is on time. Come on, praise him in this house tonight. Hallelujah. While I was sitting over there tonight, for whatever reason, I feel like I need to sing this song before I minister. This song is just in my spirit tonight, and I want to sing it again. Lily of the valley, let your sweet aroma fill my life. Rose of Sharon, show how to grow in beauty in God's eyes. There is of 10,000, make me a reflection in your eyes. Day stars shine down on me, let your love shine through me in the night. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow anywhere you open up the door. Let me know your wisdom. Show me things I've never seen before. That's what I hope happens in this house tonight. That's what I hope happens in this house tonight. Cause Lord, I want to be a witness. You can take what's wrong and make it right. Yes, you can, Jesus. Days start shining out on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Lord, I see a world that's dying. They're wounded by the master of deceit. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. They're groping in the darkness. They're haunted by the years of past defeats. Oh, but then I see you standing near me, Lord. Shine. passion in your eyes. And I just simply pray, Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Oh, lead me, Lord, I'll follow anywhere you open up the door. And let me know your wisdom. Show me things I've never seen. Lord, I want to be a witness. Come here, Leah. You can take what's wrong and make it right. Yes, you can, Jesus. Please start shining on me. Let your love shine through me. Start shining down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Oh, in the night.
Hallelujah. God is good, is he not? He is faithful. He is true. He's always there. Amen. Kenny just asked me to share for just a second. So he was telling you the struggle that we have with our kids. How many of y'all have struggled with your kids? You know, Kenny stated tonight, you know, if he can't get you, he will get your seed. Amen. I encourage y'all as far as your giving. I love the way your pastor gives here at the church because, you know, there is seed time and there is harvest. Amen. We can't faint in doing that, right? But our youngest son, we had the addiction with our oldest son, but our youngest son was the overachiever. We were so hard on him because of all the things that had happened with our other son. And, you know, I was determined. I would say, you're not going to do that. And I was so hard. And he got 2 degrees, just graduated college. And for about 6 months, we had been going through a battle. I got any dreamers out there? Any of y'all have dreams? The Lord give you dreams? Well, I'm a dreamer. And the Lord started giving me dreams. So about for 6 or 7 months, I was having dreams, and I done what I've always done with the boys. When I have a dream, I go to them, and I tell them, and I tell them what the Lord said, and I read their mail, and they get mad. Amen. Our youngest says, between you and Jesus, I can't do a thing. And I say, hallelujah. Amen. So, but in that, I would go, and I would just constantly go to him and say, son, if there's anything in your life that's not right, you better get it right. You better get it right. And his attitude was, I'm turning 21 and I'll do what I want to. I'm going to be a man and I'm going to do what I want to do. So this mama here said, oh no, you're not. I stuck my finger in his face and I stuck my finger in the devil's face. And I said, you will not have my child. In the name of Jesus. I said, God, I don't care what you have to do and what it takes. I said, but whatever it is, Lord, let that child not live one day of his adult life without having a true encounter with you. Now, this child was baptized in the Holy Ghost when he was 6 years old and had been in church every day of his life. He knew everything about church. Amen. But I said, no, devil, you will not do this. But he was turning 21 Labor Day weekend. And we gave him a little leeway and let him go do what he wanted to do. And he didn't come home. He called me at midnight and said, I'm not coming home. I'm going to do what I want to do. And I said, you either get home now or when you do get home, you're coming straight to my office. Well, needless to say, he didn't come home. But we had church on Sunday and went to church. He, of course, come home eventually once we left and went to church. And He never called, never spoke to him on his birthday, nothing. The next day was Labor Day. I had ordered him to my office, and he didn't come. I heard his car crank. And the minute I heard his car crank, it was as if every demon in hell was speaking to me saying, see there, you can't control that. You're not going to win this battle. And I just immediately started praying. I just went into intercession. I did the same thing I did every time my child pulled out of the driveway to get on the school bus or to get in the car. And that was pray. I pleaded the blood over him. I put a hedge of protection. And the Lord spoke to me one day, and this may help you. He said, enlarge that territory. I had been praying a hedge of protection around this child, and I just had a hedge of protection. And God said, enlarge it. And I said, Lord, I know the prayer of Jabez, but what do you mean enlarge the territory? And he said, you start praying that hedge large enough that if he fall or the enemy reach in, he can't get to him. So I started enlarging that territory or what I seen around him. And I said, no, devil, we're not going to do this. Because I would have dream after dream of him stumbling and the enemy being able to reach him. But that morning, he pulled out of the driveway. And as he pulled out of the driveway, I heard the car. It's like he never backed off of it. He had a built engine, a built transmission, a built everything in that car. And he never backed off of it until I heard the engine stop. And about a mile away from our house, you get to the top of the hill and there's a stop sign. And I thought he had got there. And I'm still on my knees and I'm a praying. And all of a sudden, my phone rang. And I said, devil, you are not going to stop me from praying. And the Holy Ghost checked me. And I picked it up because it was not a number that I knew. And it was the neighbor down the street. She said, your son's just had an automobile accident. And I screamed at Kenny, and I jumped in the car, and I said, I'm going. And, of course, he come flying after me. But I got there, and when I got there, my son was sitting on the side of the road next to the car with someone holding him, holding his neck. And I'm trying to talk to him, and a man or a figure appeared between me and him. And the only thing I could remember about this figure was that it was red. And I am a very, very detailed person. And this figure was pushing me, and it was cursing me, and it was screaming at me, and it was calling me names, and it was accusing me, and it was saying it was going to beat me up, lock me up. It hated me, and I'm thinking, who is this person? I don't know anybody that doesn't like me. I'm like, who is this person? And finally, I just took my hand and shoved him, and I said, get out of my face. That's my child. That is my truck. And I said, move. And he moved. And I got to my son and he said, Mom, who is that person? And I said, I don't know. But I said, the ambulance will be here in a minute and it's going to be okay. That day, that figure, the only people that saw that was my son and myself. And I believe that the demon that was trying to destroy him manifested itself that day. And how I believe and know that is because I prayed and I said, Lord, what happened? And he said, Anita, like I don't know, you know, Anita, who is the accuser of the brethren and what was that doing to you? And I said, the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. And all that image was doing was accusing and cursing and threatening. But it went away and nobody could find it. Kenny had the authorities. Nobody could find this figure. But we got to the hospital, and I said, Lord, how is all of this happening? You know, we're ministering. We're doing everything we're supposed to be doing. We're praying. We're fasting. You know, what happened? Where's that hedge? If any of y'all, has the Lord ever told you to do something that you didn't really understand? But I said, Lord, what about the hedge? And he said, Anita, I got this. I got this. It's going to be okay. I got this. Well, I couldn't understand that, but we got to the hospital, and we're standing there, and Kenny was out with some other people, and they took me back to show me the scan of his neck. It broke his neck at the C2 vertebrae, horizontally and vertically, and it displaced his head off of his spine 6 millimeters. Now, I'm back there with 4 neurosurgeons looking at this 3-dimensional scan of my son's head off. And I stood there, and I'm weeping, and I said, Lord, how could this have happened when I did everything you told me to do? Now, don't you listen to me, because I was broken. I did not understand how anything good could come out of bad. It's just like in the Bible when they say, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, let me tell you, Nazareth is not a big place, but something good come out of it. Your redemption and my redemption. Amen? But in standing there, I said, Lord, how can... what's happening? How can anything come out of this? And that three-dimensional scan turned in front of me. And as I saw that tiny little C2 vertebrae, that horizontal and that vertical break crossed. And there was a cross right there in the middle of his neck. And the Holy Ghost of God come over me and just covered me from top to bottom. And he said, Anita, he said, I'm right here and I'm right in the middle of this. He said, my word says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And he has never done that. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord miraculously, he laid there for 4 days in ICU before they would even put his head back on. Took a team of, they had to develop a team to put it back on because it's a very simple surgery, but nobody ever lives to get to have the surgery. It's less than 1% of people that live through the injury and 0.1% that does not have any damage. He did not have a stroke. He did not have a seizure. And he's alive and well today with no brain damage and no physical impairments. And only a God in heaven can do that. Folks, he's alive and he is well. And I'm just telling you, it don't matter how it looks. It may look bad. It may feel bad. It may be bad. But God is alive. I went to the tomb 2 weeks ago and it's empty. Hallelujah. He's not there, but he's coming back. He's coming back. And I just want to encourage you tonight. If it don't look good, it don't feel good, and you don't understand it, God has still got it. Amen. He said he'd never leave. He'd never forsake. And God is still on the throne. Amen. Can y'all praise him for anything he's done for you tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, you are worthy to be praised.
Here's a song I recorded during that process of that miracle. It was just like this. Today I faced a mountain I have no strength to climb. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost coming in this house tonight. And the struggle off its journey has left me weak, both in body and in mind. Where I stand to the peak, in a distance of my own, I cannot reach. So this journey of 1,000 steps begins right down on my knees. Soon I'll soar like an eagle, high on wings of praise, far into the heavens, where I could almost see God's face, rising to his splendor, to heights I never knew. Oh, you see, friend, what once looked like a mountain, it's just a hill from heaven's point of view. This is for somebody in this room tonight. I may face things tomorrow that I can't comprehend today. Listen, sometimes the circumstances in our life, they're so uncertain. Sometimes we can't even find it hard to find the strength to get down and pray. Oh, but I'm leaning on the promise key. He said, I'll never leave you. I will always see you through. So what's this mountain to an eagle flying high from heaven's point of view? Can you just wave your hand like you're flying tonight? Soon I'll soar like an eagle, high on wings of praise, far the heavens, where I could almost see God's face rise into His splendor to heights I never knew. Oh, you see, friend, what once looked like a mountain, it's just a hill from heaven's point of view. Yes, what once looked like a mountain is just a hill from heaven's point of view. Has He ever brought you through anything? Let me hear you give us a praise in this house tonight. Come on. I said, has He ever brought you through anything? Give us a praise in this house tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to have a little church, but not the next 3 hours. I'm joking. Yeah. John chapter 5, starting with verse 2. The gentleman's going to put it on the screen for us tonight, because I'm going to speak to you about when Jesus shows up. I said, when Jesus shows up. Now there at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay great multitude that don't say of important folk. Got a few letters out of that. Don't say important. It says impotent folk. And this is kind of what impotent folks are. Blind, halt, withered, all messed up. Anybody ever been all messed up? Some of us still are, probably. Waiting for the moving up the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. It's time to get over it, don't you think? I said 38 years. That's long enough to be sick. Where'd I get to? And when Jesus saw him lie, he wasn't lying, he was just lying. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, where wilt thou be made whole? Then the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another step down before me. Has anybody ever gotten your way to getting a miracle? I won't go there. I'm looking this way. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately, say right now. Immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Woo! I believe that's all I need to read. Sounds good enough to me. Because what I'm going to speak to you tonight about is when Jesus shows up, your life will never be the same again. When Jesus shows up, your life will never be the same again. I was talking to your pastor out in the out front this afternoon for just a few moments, and I made, I think, this reference because I make it quite often, Pastor Ricky, I say, I love, although I'm 53 years old, so I'm sort of caught in the middle of the young and the older. Now, I'm my age is the older, my mind is the younger. I don't know why y'all laughing for. Some of you know exactly the fix that I'm in tonight. I think I can do anything I've ever done until I start to do it. Don't you be laughing. I'm sort of caught in a between of a battle here of age and my mind. But I love to sit down with my elders. I have somewhat, for whatever reason, I love to sit down with old folk and just let them tell me where they've been, what they've been through, how God brought them through, what they're going through, and how they're going to get the victory. And it encourages me to know that whatever I'm facing today, that God's going to bring me through. I want you to say, I'm going through. Come on, say it. I'm going through. Tonight, as the worship team did a wonderful job, I think we need to give them another great big hand, as they did a wonderful job. And I'm so grateful for them being with us tonight and worshiping with us. But as they begin to sing from the very start, I felt the pool of Bethesda begin to shake in this place. And I believe that while the waters are troubled in this room tonight, things can happen. We may not have to be the first one to jump in, but we need to jump in. This is whosoever will, jump on in. Hey, man, how many's going to jump with me? I'm going to jump right off this thing in just a moment. How many's going to jump in with me tonight? I love to tell stories of things I've heard because it's encouraging me, and I pray it's encouraging you. I'm going to tell you a story of an old man. There's a dear friend, Anita and I. He's my neighbor. He's 89 years old. He's the baby of 18. He's a baby of 18. Matter of fact, Brother Jerry, I think you told me you 71. Is that what you told me? His brother just resigned his church last year in Key West, Florida at 106 years old. Yeah, resigned the church. And he got bored sitting at the house. So he went back to the Church of God office and asked for another church. True story. 106 years old. But Brother Aaron Curry is his name. And Brother Aaron is 89 years old. He's a retired Church of God preacher. And he loves to go. He would go with me every time I pull the motorhome out of the driveway. It just, some situations don't allow that to happen. And I don't let him drive, by the way. But he can help me. He can help me set the equipment up. And he can preach to me on the way there and try to get me saved before I get to church and be sure that everything's all right when I get there. That's a joke, somebody, but whatever. I met him at a mutual neighbor's house one day, and we began to talk, and he said, I'd love to go with you sometime. And so the first trip, I took him to Tampa, Florida with me. Took him to Tampa, Florida. A little long trip, and I had another guy driving with me, helping me drive, and man, I love air conditioning. Hey, man, I believe the man that created the air conditioning unit, he had to be a Christian, because he didn't want to go anywhere where it was hot. But we we get on these long trips. Some of these trips I take, you know, you get leave the house. You could be in driving 12, 14 hours straight. So this preacher's got a lot of stories to tell. And so I just let him tell them. It's encouraging me, and it gets it off his chest. One day, one of the first stories he ever told me, he said, Brother Kenny, he said, back in the 50s, he said, I was traveling with the Church of God evangelist in the state of Florida. And he said, I had four kids. He said, we just living on meager fare, just barely getting by. He said that I was driving an old Chevrolet car that was so far past gone. He said it was a rust bucket. He said, I truly had to tie the doorposts together so the kids wouldn't fall out of the car. Yeah. He said it was just, sadly to say, he said, I'm not rejoicing that. He said, I couldn't do no better. He said, life was tough for us. He said, we wasn't getting good offerings. We was getting chicken and taters sometime. Put the old rooster in the trunk, and he'd fall through the hole, and you wouldn't get home with him. Or he'd be fried chicken by the time you got there. Hold on, Keith. He said, I was driving this old car, and he said, I pulled up in a church one night. Almost time for the service to begin. He said, I parked right beside a brand new 1955 Ford with the sticker still on the window, brand new. And his wife said, honey, wouldn't that be great to have? Something like that. He said, will you pray about that? I'm going to hear him preach. He said he went on in there and preached into the service that night. Everybody was leaving. He said there was a man that stood in the back of the church with a trench coat on, and he most importantly come over to where he was at. He said, preacher, he said, is that you driving that old Chevrolet out there all rusted up? And Brother Aaron said, yes, sir. I'm sorry to say that. It's the only vehicle that I have, and that's what we're using to work with the Lord. He said, did you notice that 1955 Ford, brand new Ford out there you parked beside tonight? He said, yes, sir, I did. He said, my wife, Betty, even made reference to it. He said, that's mine. He said, while you preach tonight, I really felt to do something. And he said, if you don't care, I would love to trade titles with you tonight. I don't care. Yeah, I'd be like Brother Jerry saying, yeah, I'd trade my old Ford truck for his Lexus. I don't care. He said, the gentleman, he gave him the title with the keys. He's walking out towards a new car. Betty don't know nothing about this. She's walking toward the old Chevrolet. Matter of fact, she got to the old Chevrolet and she was getting the ropes ready to tie the door shut. And he said, Betty, get out of that car. That don't belong to you. She said, Aaron, quit a mess with me. Get in this car. Let's go to the house. He said, seriously, honey, God is moved. Somebody else owned that car. This is our car. Get in it. And when he convinced her, they got in the car and went their way. It had a full tank of gas. And he drove it for a few days. And he's heading to another revival right outside of Jacksonville, Florida, when the gas was getting low and he did not have no money. You know, he had a blessing, but he was in a need. Did not have no money. And he says, Brother Kenny, he said, I told Betty, he said, I know one man that lives in this area. I believe if I can call him, that I will call him and ask him, would he loan me enough money until the revival's over, and I will pay him back to get us through this week. He said, do you have anything that I can make a phone call with? She found one nickel in her pocketbook. One nickel. And I wasn't born in 1955, thank the Lord. So, but evidently a phone call was spent 5 cents. And he said, she gave him that nickel and said, "Now listen, Aaron, this is all we got. Don't lose it." Boy, that's when you at your wit's end. One nickel. I mean, the only thing you're going to get out of this is a phone call. I think George Jones wrote a song, "Here's a Quarter." It's called "Somebody Who Cares." Anybody know that song in this room? Now, I've seen a few heathens in this house tonight. I'm just trying to lighten it up. We're going to have church. Don't you worry. We're going to have church. Said, "Here, Amon, here's a nickel. Don't you lose it." So he went over to the phone booth. He said, "Brother Kenny, I went over there. I put the nickel in. I dialed the man's number, and it was though he answered the phone. But when he answered the phone, something happened, and I lost the call." It's bad to have a brand new car and can't drive it. Don't look so good pushing a 1955 Ford. So he said he discouragingly, just got a miracle, but now you just give your last nickel to the phone booth. And discouragingly, he said, "I'm walking back towards the car to tell Betty I lost the nickel." He said, "Brother Kenny," he said, "as I'm walking back towards the car, and I'm thinking, God, I need your help. I've got to tell my wife. She's going to be upset. What are you going to..." He said, "I started walking back to the car," and he said, "all of a sudden I heard a noise behind me. I turned around, and the phone booth was shooting out money." He said, "I turn around and run back toward the phone booth. Here come Betty. She had already jumped out of the car. She had her skirt out right here." And he's telling me this. Going down the road. Can you imagine me driving the motor home? Said, "Betty's out there with her skirt out. They're throwing coins in it." So I can look what I thought. I don't think I got that song yet. She's walking back over towards the car. She gets back in. Now, Brother Aaron is one of those guys. I take him with me for some reasons, because somewhere places I go is not as lively as y'all are. And he's that kind of fella that can get you thrown out of a dead place pretty quick. And some of them, the quicker the better. Help me, Jesus. So he's telling this story. He said, "Brother Kenny," he said, "and he loves to shout." Man, while that praise team was singing tonight, Brother Aaron, need to tell you, Brother Aaron been here, he made 10 laps around this church. And the rest of you could sit there and look at him. He wouldn't have cared. Matter of fact, he wouldn't even know you sat there. Well, he ain't paying attention to you. He just happy. He want him shouting. Pentecostal preachers, a man, it don't matter where he's at. He don't have to understand that some folk don't do this. Man, he's 89. He said, "I've done it all my life. Ain't nobody going to stop me now." Yeah, I'll change the story just for a moment to say that we buried his wife and his oldest daughter on the same day. They died 8 hours apart. We did a double funeral for him and his wife, and we sang an "I'll Fly Away," and he's running around that Church of God and coming to Georgia shouting. It wasn't because he was getting an insurance policy, neither. Because he knew where his hope was at. But he said, "Brother Kenny," he said, "when Betty got in the car with that change," he said, "I was walking down the side of the street in Jacksonville, Florida, that community with my hands raised, I shout and speaking in tongues and praising God for what he'd just done in our lives." He said, while I'm praising the Lord, he said, I look down and there's a roll of bills. He said, I never stopped. He said, I just scooped down and grabbed it up and went on praising God. Got over close to the car, throwed it in the window, said, count that. We talking about seed time and harvest, Jerry. You sold your life to Jesus. He'll give you more than you can ever obtain, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. He said, I shouted and I passed the car up down there. She's still accounting. Thank you, Jesus. So she got all that coins counted and it was $28. Now he got to the meals. He passed by and he heard her say, one, two, three. When he's got to three, he said, what is it, $3 or $4? She said, no, Aaron, it's four $100 bills. So God had already given this old-time preacher a brand-new 1955 Ford and turned a nickel into $428 at the phone booth. Somebody give us a praise in this house tonight. You say, what that mean to me, preacher? Well, I'll tell you, next time you broke, find your nickel and go to the phone booth. I'm joking. No, I'm not. Might work. You can tell me other stories of that stuff, man. And I was raised on this stuff. Some of it I didn't have to hear. Some of it I saw my own self. I seen where God moved in supernatural ways. Man, I know pastors and I know friends that had to sit down at the supper table and prayed over an empty table and thank God for the supper they was fixing to eat and they didn't have nothing there to eat and the kids are kicking each other under the table thinking that daddy lost his mind. But at the end of that prayer, somebody's knocking on the door and they said, I don't know why, but just a little while ago, something told me to go buy you some groceries. Preacher, and here I am. Man, I know, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Go ahead, Aaron, go ahead. I believe I do it one more time. Hallelujah. See, we had the praise and worship leader coming here tonight. I couldn't hardly talk, but he got up here and started worshiping the Lord, and his vocal cords opened up. Thank God for it. He's in the house tonight. What in the water's getting a little troubled in this house? There'll be a whole lot of shaking going on here in this few moments. I was raised up on that kind of stuff. You know, and my prayer has always been, God, I want to see you do it again. Oh, listen to me. Don't dial me. Does that mean that I want to go back to a rusted out old car and see if Jerry's going to give me that Lexus or not? Or his wife's got a pretty nice car. Maybe I'll just take hers. Or Ricky's got a Lincoln. That's a politicker's car right there. I don't even know if that's a word or not, politicker. My wife's shaking her head like you lost it. I have. I don't want to have to go back to those things, but I want us to, the church to be in a position that when we become not important people, but important people, that we know where the pool of Bethesda is. And we begin to dive in and say, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care who likes it or who don't like it. I am determined that I'm going to get my miracle. That's what it's about. Well, we may stay till 3 o'clock in the morning. You may not want to get to sleep tonight. You may have to go to work. I'm giving her a hard time. I come up in a real move of God. I see some supernatural things take place. And I'm saying, God, you promised in your word. You promise in your word that the latter house will be greater than the former house. I said, he said in his word, in the last days, said God, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. You sons and daughters shall prophesy. They shall see visions, dream dreams. I'll pour out my spirit upon the handmaidens. I'll move in supernatural ways, is what he's saying. And in the Word of God, and even in the stories of those before us, somehow or another, I'm saying, God, I'm just so much desire in you to show up one more time amongst your people. So, as we go our daily walk, and time has gone on. Some of our loved ones have gone on before us. They're rejoicing around the throne tonight. Their battle is over with. Their victory's won. And here we are still with desperate needs in our life and desperate battles going on. And I'm saying, God, we need you to touch us one more time in a supernatural way. I'm going to tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that I don't want, what I'm talking about tonight ain't something. Hear me and hear me well. I don't want to just do what I'm doing tonight to make you laugh and arouse your emotions. I'm not an entertainer. I'm a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, full of the Holy Ghost and need his power to move in our lives. And I believe if he shows up, when Jesus shows up, something to change in our lives tonight. Tonight. Somebody say tonight. Come on, say it tonight. See, some folks think it has to happen at a particular place, under a particular ministry, at a particular setting. But God can show up at a pool. Pooh. Not Winnie, but a poo. Pool. Whatever. He can show up anywhere he chooses to. So a few months ago, Anita and I were in a nursing home. Now, that's where some God-loving people are at. That once attended church faithfully, but now they're not able to go and be a part of our great services. They so desire somebody that should come and spend a little time with them. Anita's grandfather was at the point of death, and he finally passed. But one night while there, visiting her grandfather just a few days before he passed, closer to the here than the foyer there from his room was the cafeteria area. And I heard some folks singing. I heard them singing, and they were singing pretty good, but they didn't have nobody playing for them. We've already been down numerous times, but I never have been there when anybody else was doing a service, but they were singing. And so in that area, most folks know me because that's where we're from, and they know what I do, and I've been to a lot of the churches over the years. And so I didn't want to participate, really. I was just curious of who was there. So I go down, but, you know, when you stick your head around the corner first, and your hair is sort of sticking out there, and it's orange. It sort of draws some attention. I stuck my head around. What else could I? I couldn't stuck my foot and saw who it was. I had to stick my hand around the corner. And I seen some folks, and they recognized me. I wanted to dart back and say, no, you didn't see me. But they did. And so they're going, play the piano. So I go up, Brother Jerry, and to the piano. I tell you the worst thing I hate about playing music. The reason I set up every night, whether it's good or bad, because every now and then, Ricky, you go to a church that they don't have electronic keyboards and they don't have good systems. And sometimes they got that old fashioned piano and it's right here. And when you play it, and about an hour of that, and you try to leave, you drive down the road. I didn't come to be a comedian tonight, but I'm doing a pretty good job at it, I think. And so, the piano is just like that. It's up against that wall. They just tell me the song. There wasn't no sense for reading their music. They're probably not going to sing it the kids in anyway. They had a pretty good little choir, about 20 of them. They began to sing some about 30 minutes, and all of a sudden, they said, that'd be all we're going to sing tonight. We're going to close in prayer. And so I just bowed my head, and they prayed. And so when it got through, instead of just standing up, I just spun around on the pew, and right there, right where the drums is at, right behind me, evidently the whole time, was a lady that I've known most of my life. Her name is Ellen Moore, and Miss Ellen was the piano player at Swanee Church of God right outside of Atlanta. And for years, and she was a manager of a restaurant there in our hometown in Buford, Georgia. But all the times of us being there, I had never seen her before. So when I spun around and there's Ellen, a big smile comes on her face, and I said, well, hey there, Miss Ellen, I didn't know you was here. And Brother Jerry, all of a sudden, she went, And I realized immediately she'd had a stroke. And she couldn't speak. She couldn't carry on a conversation. All it began to come out was, Mama, oh boy! I just carried on a conversation. Yeah, it's good to see you too. Good to see you, Ellen. I'm so glad to see you. Glad you're doing okay. Just carried on a conversation with her. So I begin to go see Ellen when we go down to see Nita's grandfather. A few weeks later, we were there. And what I've just shared with you is all I'd ever heard out of Ellen. I'm almost through tonight. Just listen to me as we come to a closure. We're sitting in Miss Katie Garrett's room. Another lady resident there, talking to her, and here comes Ellen, Ricky, down the hall with that one arm driving that wheelchair. She got in front of Miss Katie's door, and she just happened to look in there and saw us. She didn't say nothing. She just didn't even turn on her blinker. She just turned right on in. And rolled right on in there. So she just sat there and was listening to us conversate and stuff, never said anything. Miss Katie, Nita said, Katie, we're going to have to go. Good to be. She said, Nita, does Kenny know that song, I Want to Stroll Over Heaven with You? Sort of funny, Ricky. Nita turns to me and says, you know that song, don't you? I said, you tell Miss Katie that I do know that song. We made Nita the mediator in this little conversation. She said, well, Nita, would you ask him, would he sing a portion of that song before he leaves? You sing a portion. Tell Miss Katie how we do. So we got ready to go, and I said, okay, let me sing you a little verse of this song. We got to go. Some of you older folk may remember this old song. It goes, if I survey all the good things that come to me from above, if I could count all the blessings from the storehouse of love, I'd simply ask for a favor of him beyond mortal man. I'm sure he'd grant it again and again. I got right here in this song, Ricky Nims. I said, I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day. I started singing that, Jerry Nelson. I'm sitting here. Nita's right here. Miss Katie's right here. Ellen's right here behind me. I'm not even in sight view of her. But as I started in that chorus, I want to stroll over heaven with you. All of a sudden, somebody began to sing behind me like Vestal Goodman just walked into the room. Now, I have played at the National Quartet Convention several years back. I've been with some of the very best well-known singers and musicians over the years across this country. But that night at a little nursing home in Cumming, Georgia, the presence of God come in that room, and I begin to hear this voice behind me. Matter of fact, it made my hair want to stand up, but I was afraid to turn around because I didn't know who in the world was in this room. So I just kept on singing, I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day when all our troubles and heartaches have all vanished away. And we'll enjoy all the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you.